Good afternoon, Cape Town. You're listening to RX Radio, and this is your sports show with Muji. On the line today, we have an all-time favourite who led the Springboks to the victory over the All Blacks in the 1995 Rugby World Cup. He is none other than Francois Pienaar. Good afternoon, Francois. How are you doing today?
Mujib, good afternoon to you. I'm doing very well. Thank you for asking. And how are you doing?
I'm really good. Can't complain. Could you please give a brief intro of who you are for those who are not rugby fanatics?
Well, I don't like to talk about myself, but I was very fortunate to shake the hand of Mr. Nelson Mandela in the 1995 Rugby World Cup when the Springboks beat New Zealand to become the first ever South African captain and the first ever South African team to win the Rugby World Cup. I was born on the 2nd of January 1967 in Vereeniging, and went to school in the Vaal Triangle and also in Witbank. I then studied law at the University of Johannesburg. I did my BProc LLB, and currently I'm a businessman that's based in Cape Town.
That's really good. So could you please tell me, how did your rugby career really start?
Well, I think my biggest passion was actually cricket. But when I grew up, sport was compulsory. So you had to do athletics in the beginning of the year. Any kind of event that sort of tickled your fancy. And I did javelin, I did high jump, I did sprints, believe it or not.
Yeah.
And then you would do rugby if you're a boy, and the girls will do netball. And at the end of the year, the boys would play cricket. Then hockey wasn't that popular way back then. And also, we didn't have the water polos and how strong it is in the schools then. So basically, sport as in general was compulsory when you went to school. That's how I got involved in the sport. And I was very lucky, you know. I played the South African schools rugby team. I made the South African schools rugby team, and I played Nuffield cricket. And on the back of that, I got a scholarship to go to the University of Johannesburg to go and study law.
So what made you decide that rugby has a bigger passion than cricket? Or what did you like more about rugby than you liked about cricket?
I didn't actually pick one ahead of the other. It sort of just happened. I thought I was a fast bowler. My friend said I was actually just medium-paced, if not and a mid-order batsman. But the rugby season kept on for quite some time. And being a flanker, when the games start getting more and more physical, you know, you pick up quite a lot of injuries, especially in my shoulders. So that changed totally my bowling style, and it didn't have enough time to prepare for cricket. So rugby just took over from cricket at university. Actually, in my first year already. And then rugby became more of a focal part of my, you know, my sport than cricket.
And please tell me, was playing rugby for the Springboks one of your childhood dreams?
Absolutely. Is it not any childhood dream that likes the game?
Yeah, surely.
It is, absolutely. You know, that you never know if you're going to make it. And it was an incredible journey. Very blessed to have been picked to play for the Springboks.
And how did it make you feel when you were selected to represent the national team?
You're incredibly proud, and your family is so proud, but you also, I mean, I was made captain on my first ever game, which was the first ever to be made captain on his first game, and that was scary, because, you know, one thing is you've been made a Springbok and you want to play a good game, your first game you really want to have a great game, but to make you captain means that there's an added
huge responsibility,
which, you know, I think we coped with it. We were lucky in my first game against France. We should have lost that game, but we drew 20 all, so I got a good escape.
And how did it make you feel when the greatest man in history, the late Nelson Mandela, walked out wearing a green and gold jersey with your number on his back?
And that was just very emotional. We didn't know, none of us knew that Mr. Mandela was going to wear a Springbok jumper, and in my wildest dreams I never ever even thought that it might be my number that's on the back. And when I saw that in our changing room just before the game, it was wow. It's almost impossible for me to describe the emotions that go through one's mind. Just very, very special. And really blessed that my relationship with Mr. Mandela grew actually after the Rugby World Cup. It became a very strong and personable relationship.
I've read about that he's the godparents of both your kids. How did that come about?
He asked. He asked Jean, my oldest son. Jean was born in the University College Hospital in London when I played for Saracens. And after a couple of days when Jean was home, the phone rang in the early hours of the morning, and it was Mr. Mandela, who was so nice to congratulate us with the birth of Jean, and he asked if he could be his godfather. And he gave him a Xhosa name, Mukokeli, which means leader. So he announced to South Africa that he's the godfather of Jean. Stefan, our youngest son, who's 17 months younger than Jean, never really got the invitation from Mr. Mandela or the opportunity. And when he was 5 or 6 years old, we went and had tea with Madiba in Johannesburg. And that's on that day, Stefan, who always asked us, why is Mr. Mandela, not his godfather and only Jean's? And we told him that you didn't get the call. He, on that day, mustered up all his courage, and he asked Mr. Mandela if he would consider being his godfather too. And Madiba just laughed and gave him a big hug. And then he gave him a Xhosa name, Gocha, which means the brave one, because he realized how brave it was of Stefan to ask.
To ask, yes, yes. And what is it that you are taking part in now, after you've stopped playing rugby? What is it that keeps you going through life now, being a retired rugby player?
Well, I was lucky. You know, we were amateurs. In the World Cup in 95, we had to work and have jobs. We were not getting paid. Of course, you got some money after a game. We called it boot money. It's only after 95 that the game turned professional, which meant that I got my degrees and I was a businessman before then. And so after rugby, I went back into business. I have my own business interests, and it's varied. It focuses on media rights, and sometimes it's very much focused on sport. You would have watched the Varsity Cup. You know, that was one of our ideas, and we managed that. And there's Varsity Sports, and there's a number of things that we do in the sporting arena. And then we do some other stuff, too, in terms of branding and logistics. So it's a company that I started 8 years ago when I left the corporate world. I was in banking before that, and on the marketing side. And, so I'm let's say that I'm an entrepreneur.
That is really great. I hope your business grows. You also taking part giving back in different organizations such as the Cancer Care for Children and also Reach Your Dream Foundation. Could you please tell us a little about what that is all about?
As a sportsman, you're really blessed to play in front of large crowds, and 50, 60, 70,000 people. And there's a responsibility that comes with that. And the responsibility to give back is something that really resonates with me. I got involved, my first ever giving back was with a children's cancer organization called CHOC. This was in 1993 already, and was Reach for a Dream. But about 14, 15 years ago, I started the Make a Difference Leadership Foundation, which focuses on supporting young leaders that are financially disadvantaged and put them through great schools and great education. Because my belief is that leadership will change this country, and we saw that under Mr. Mandela. And currently, my focus when it comes to giving back is the Make a Difference Foundation. And we have 170 learners on the program now. We've already had learners that have graduated at universities locally, as well as overseas at Harvard, which is just amazing. And that is, my wife and my family, that's our giving back.
So if one wants to take part in the Reach a Dream Foundation, what steps could you go about?
I think, the easiest is just to go and Google Make a Difference Leadership, and it'll give you the website, and there's a lot of information on that.
Thank you very much. And also, for me who's looking to have a future in rugby, what words of encouragement do you have for me?
Also study. You must study. It's not only about sport. It's got to be about what happens after sport. And I just see it so many times that youngsters just think that sport is going to last forever, and they're going to make so much money in the sport, they will be able to retire. That is a fallacy. It is very important to give yourself enough skills so that when you finish with rugby, you have the skills to go into the next phase of your life.
And for the children inside the hospital who feel that they're at that stage where they want to give up, what words of encouragement do you have for them that would push them to not give up and succeed to their future coming dreams?
Well, I think Madiba is the prime example of somebody that never gave up. Somebody that always believed in a democratic South Africa and that people will be equal. Somebody that was in jail for 27 years and came out with the humility and selflessness in his heart, and that has done an incredible, played an incredible role in taking this country that was so fragmented, putting it on the right path. So I think, if you think about Mr. Mandela, then you would realize that he never gave up on his dreams, and neither should they, and they should never give up on the fight against whatever ailment and obstacles in their path currently.
So is there anything else you'd like to say, like commenting on anything?
Go Booker.
Go Booker. Always, always,
there
always.
You go.
Thank you very much for your time, Francois. It really means a lot to me and sure to everyone else in the hospital. Thanks a lot for the interview. I hope you enjoy the rest of the day.
Great pleasure, and remember to study.
Yes, will do.